counts the stars one and all. He knows how much sand is on the shore. He sees every sparrow that falls. He made the mountains and the seas. He's in control of everything, of all creatures great and small. And
he knows my name, every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry. He knows my name when I'm overwhelmed by the pain. I can't see the light of day. I know I'll be just fine, 'cause he knows my name.
I don't know what tomorrow will bring. I can't tell you what's in store. I don't know a lot of things.
Don't have all the answers to the questions of life, but I know whom I believe, and he knows my name. Every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry, he knows my name when I'm overwhelmed by the can't see the light of day. I know I'll be just fine, 'cause he knows my name.
He knew who I was when he carried my cross. He knew that I would fail him, but
he took the loss. He knows my name. Step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry, he knows my name when I'm overwhelmed by the pain. I can't see the light of day. I know I'll be just fine, 'cause he knows my name. Every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry, he knows my name. When I'm overwhelmed by the pain, I can't see the light of day. I know I'll be just fine, 'cause he knows my name. He knows my name.
Man, thank God for the truth of that song. Amen.
Amen.
Glad God knows my name. Amen.
Amen.
I was about to ask him if he knew where my Bible was. I don't know if y'all saw me pacing around here, but I laid my Bible up here on the platform, and I got to panicking a minute ago in that last song. I thought, where is my Bible at? But anyway, I found it, praise God. And he knew where it was the whole time. I just didn't, but I sure am glad that I found it. But it's good to be in God's house this morning. I'm thankful to be here. I've got to say this before I get started. I'm thankful to have some of my friends here, two of my lifelong best friends. I'll say their names, and y'all know they're from Greene County, Duck and Bird. that'll keep them, you know, that way you won't really know who they are. You'll just know their alias. But two of the best friends I've ever had, and we grew up together, and I'm glad they're here this morning. Another gentleman that I just met recently at a Bible study in my house, Bruce and Jason's son. I'm just glad to have some visitors here this morning. Made me a little more nervous than normal. I'm nervous enough preaching God's word, but when you know you have visitors coming, it puts a little more pressure on you. But I'm glad that it's not up to me what happens today.
Amen.
It's up to God, and I'm just leaving it in his hands. And so my son Adam read to you in Hebrews chapter 11. I'm going to get right into the message this morning. Hebrews chapter 11, he read verse number 7, and I preached a message just last time I preached about Joseph out of Hebrews chapter 11. about Joseph's faith, and as I was studying and looking at different things to preach this Youth Sunday, I could not get away from this message on Noah. And so I'm just trying to be obedient to God this morning, and I just want to preach to you a message on Noah. And really, my message this morning is about being prepared. And I'm afraid that we're living in a time where very few are prepared. And you say, well, what do you mean, Brother David? Are you a prepper? I'm not. In some ways, I am. Maybe I should prepare a little more physically. But the preparation I'm talking about is not necessarily a physical preparation, but a spiritual one. And I'm afraid there's many people in our day that are not prepared. And I think of our young people on this Youth Sunday. I hope you'll listen this morning, because I want to give you some things that will help you to prepare. You say, what are we preparing for, Brother David? Well, I don't know. I know this. I know that one day, judgment's coming. The Bible says this: it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, judgment. Judgment is coming. Now, I'm not standing up here today being a preacher of doom and gloom and saying that judgment is right around the corner, though it could be. I don't know. I never thought we would make it this far. So before I even get to my message, I just want to preface by saying, I'm not saying it's going to happen today. I'm not saying it's going to happen tomorrow. But I'm saying this: it's going to happen. Judgment is going to come. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter number 24. I won't have you turn there for sake of time, but in verse number 37, I will ask you to listen very closely. It's the word of God. Jesus said, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not until the flood came. And took them all, and they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. You say, Brother David, you think we're living in the days of Noah? I don't know. I'll let you make that call. I personally believe, yes, we are. As I look at our society and I look at the society that Noah was living in, we won't go into that this morning, but you could go back to Genesis chapter number 6 and you could look at what God said about that society. God said it was a very corrupt society. God said that their imaginations were evil continually. It was a very violent society. It was a very casual society. You see, people were not concerned about God. Jesus said that. He said they were marrying and giving in marriage. They were eating. They were drinking. But they did not have time for God. See, they were very casual, and it was a very corrupt society. And you see, it was a society where people just, you know, they were living life their way. A lot like the day in which we're living. I do believe there's a lot of similarities between Noah's day and our day. And you say, oh, it's another message on the second coming. I'm sure there's some that's probably thinking this morning, you know, we heard this when the last Democrat was voted into office. And can I tell you, in 2008, 2012, whatever it was, I did think, man, this could be it. We might be on the verge of the last days. And here we are today. But can I tell you, hey, our world's changing rapidly. I'm not going to try to convince you. I mean, the move for a one-world government and for, you know, for a cashless society and the control that we're seeing in our society today, and it's not just in our country, it's in our world. I think many of these things are pointing towards the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, do I think it's going to be today? I didn't say that. It could be. It may be 100 years from now, but I can assure you on the Word of God this morning that regardless of when it is coming. Judgment's coming. You see, even in Peter talked about it in 2 Peter chapter 3. You can turn there. It's only a couple pages over. 2 Peter chapter 3. Peter talked about these things in verse number 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 3. It says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. And verse 6 says, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. You see, Peter is reminding these people that he's writing to, I know that in the last days there's going to come people that are going to say, oh, I've been hearing my whole life that Jesus is coming. I've been hearing my whole life that judgment was coming. And he said, just like in Noah's day, they didn't believe and they scoffed and they mocked, but yet the flood came and the world was judged. And I'm telling you that in the last days there's going to be many that are going to mock the word of God. They're going to mock the fact that Jesus is coming again, but it does not change the fact that he's going to come. And so my question this morning is not when is he going to come, but I'm asking you this morning, are you going to be prepared when he does come? You see, Noah was prepared. Hebrews chapter 11, you can turn back there, and that was the verse we read this morning. The Bible says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not as yet seen, moved with fear, and it says he prepared. You see that? I got that underlined in my Bible. Noah prepared an ark. Noah was prepared for the flood. Noah was prepared for the judgment. And I'm here to ask you this morning, are you prepared? Are you prepared? Because judgment is coming. And whether it comes nationally, whether it comes globally, or whether it comes personally, I'm here to tell you this morning, judgment is going to come. And I'm asking you, are you prepared? See, Noah was prepared. I want to look at a couple things in Noah's life that I believe we can learn about how to be prepared. How to be prepared. Let's see why Noah was prepared. Number one, I want us to see this. Noah was prepared because of his relationship with God. Noah's relationship with God. Can I ask you this morning? Do you have a relationship with God? See, Brother David, I'm saved. I understand that. You can be saved this morning and still not be prepared. I'm asking you this. I'm not asking you if you're saved this morning. Now, that obviously is the first step to having a relationship with God. You cannot have a relationship with God outside of salvation. You see, the Bible says in Genesis chapter number 6, I believe it's in verse number 7 or 8, it says, and Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Can I ask you, have you found grace in the eyes of the Lord? Have you been saved? The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Have you experienced the grace of God in salvation? Because that is the first step to a relationship with God. So you cannot have a relationship with God outside of the saving grace of God, outside the saving grace of God. So in order to have a relationship with God, you must be saved. You have had a time in your life where you experienced the grace of God. You see, God wants to save all men. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And I believe the Bible teaches that we've all experienced the grace of God. Titus 2:13 says, that talks about the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. So God has extended his grace. If you're here today, can I tell you, God has extended his grace to you. The question is, have you accepted it? You see, Noah accepted God's grace. And that was the first step to his relationship with God. But not only did Noah accept the grace of God, not only did Noah accept the grace of God, but Noah walked with God. Turn to Genesis, if you would. Hold your place here in Hebrews chapter 11, and turn to Genesis chapter number 6. I want you to see this. You say, how was Noah prepared? How was Noah prepared when the flood came? How was Noah prepared when judgment came? He had a relationship with God. Noah had an insight that very few people had. Can I tell you, when you have a relationship with God, God will give you an insight. God will give you something that very few people have. And I just wonder this morning, how many of us really have a relationship with God? See, Noah had a relationship with God. He had accepted God's truth. He had found grace in the eyes of the Lord, but not only that, he acknowledged God. You see in verse number 9, it says, verse 8, but now Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. What a statement. Noah walked with God. You're talking about a relationship. Noah knew what it was to walk with God. How do you walk with someone? I'll tell you this, if you're going to walk with someone, you've got to acknowledge them. I believe Noah acknowledged God. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. All thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You see, Noah was walking with God. He was acknowledging God in his life. He walked with God, and therefore Noah had a relationship with God. Not only did Noah acknowledge God, but I believe Noah agreed with God. You know, the Bible says, in Amos chapter 3 and verse number 3, it says, can two walk together lest they be agreed? I wonder if you agree with God this morning. Young person, I wonder if you agree with what God says this morning. You see, that's how you walk with God. You say, I don't understand this thing of walking with God. Brother David, do you think I'm walking with God? Well, I'll ask you, do you acknowledge God? Did you get up this morning, and I'm not just talking to the young people, I'm talking to the adults this morning. Did you get up this morning and acknowledge God? Did you spend some time asking God for some direction today? Did you ask God to help you today, to lead you today, to walk with you today? You see, if you're going to walk with God, you're going to have to acknowledge God. But not only that, you're going to have to agree with God. You see, the Bible says two can't walk together lest they be agreed. Does your life agree with God? That's how we walk with God. See, when we're constantly going against what God says, then obviously we don't agree with God and we're not walking with God. And so I wonder this morning, how many of us are truly walking with God? You see, Noah was prepared for judgment. Noah was prepared for the flood because he had a relationship with God. He had accepted God's grace. He acknowledged God in his life and he agreed with God and he walked with God. And that's how you have a relationship with God. And I wonder how many of us this morning truly have a relationship with God. A true relationship where we're close. We walk with God. We spend time with God. We acknowledge God. We agree with God. You see, that's what Noah had. He had a relationship with God. God will give those in a close relationship insight that others don't get. You say, how did Noah know about the flood? Because he walked with God. He had a relationship with God. The Bible says that it's by faith, Noah being warned of God. How did Noah get this warning from God? Because he was walking with God. He was acknowledging God. He was asking God for direction in his life. The Bible says he was a just man and he walked with God. And God said, Noah, I'm going to tell you something that a lot of people don't know. And can I tell you, I believe to this very day, God will give insight and God will give wisdom to people that walk with him that other people don't get. You say, I don't understand how this person, it seems like they just are following close to God. It's because they're walking with God. They're acknowledging God. They're agreeing with God. And that's why Noah was prepared. Because he had a relationship with God. The Bible says this, Psalm 119, verse 130, the entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding to the simple. God talks to those that have a relationship with him. Amen. I know this isn't no shout the house down message this morning, but I'm telling you, this is important stuff. Right. I stepped outside last night. I hope our young people are listening, especially my young people, my children. I stepped outside last night, and all day yesterday I was under a heavy burden about preaching today. I'll tell you this right now. I say this every now and then when I preach, but I'm reminded of it. Pray for that man right there. Right. I'm telling you. Until you stand up here, until you fight the spiritual warfare that goes on, you don't know what this man goes through. Every time I preach, I get more and more respect for my pastor. I made a vow yesterday, I'm going to pray for my preacher. I pray for him, but I'm going to pray more for him. But I stepped outside last night, and I looked up into that sky, and the stars were bright. I don't know if you went outside last night. But I walked outside last night, and I looked up into that sky. And I said, God, I just want to walk with you. God, I just want to preach what you want me to preach. God, I just want to do what you want me to do. God, this doesn't have anything to do with me, God. I want it to be all about you, God. And I mean it from the bottom of my heart. There's nothing more in this life that I want than a relationship with God. We're going to see here in a minute. Can I tell you, and I might get a little ahead of myself, but it's okay. It's okay. Do you see what Noah done? He prepared an ark, and it says, to the saving of his house. You know how important this relationship, parents? I told Meredith, I said, I don't know if I'm preaching to the youth or for the youth. We as parents and grandparents in this building today, we need to understand that if we're not like Noah, if we don't have a relationship with God, if we don't walk with God, if we don't agree with God, if we don't acknowledge God, how in the world are we going to expect our children to? You say, Noah wasn't very successful, Brother David. I don't know. His whole house got in. Amen. Now, I care about your house, and I pray to God for some people in here's house, but I'm going to tell you right now, I'm just going to be honest with you, and I think if you'd be honest with me, there ain't a house in here that means more to me than my house. And Noah got his house in. Why? Because Noah had a relationship with God. It's so important. It's so important in these days in which we live that we have a relationship with God. You see, judgment's coming. A flood's coming. Something's happening. But can I tell you, I got good news. I said, this ain't a message of doom and gloom. Noah, in his day, when the flood was coming, he had a relationship with God. And can I tell you, Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. So if Noah could have a relationship with God in those days, can I tell you, we can have a relationship with God in these days. I'm glad that I can still have a relationship with God. The rest of the world may be hell-bound with the hammer down, but I'm telling you right now, I can have a relationship with God. And I'm thankful for that. Amen. Noah was prepared because he had a relationship with God. Not only that, we see Noah's relationship to God. Number two, we see Noah's reverence of God. Hebrews chapter 11, you can go back there. Hebrews chapter 11. It says in verse number 7, by faith Noah being warned of God. That was his relationship of things not seen as yet. God showed Noah something had nobody ever seen before. That was his relationship. Look at his reverence. The Bible says in verse number 7, it says, he moved with fear. Now, I don't believe this fear that Noah moved with was a fear like Noah was shaking in his boots. No, I believe this fear was a reverential fear. It was an awe of who God was. You see, Noah moved with fear. He reverenced God. Noah understood who God was. And when God told Noah, Noah, I'm going to send judgment. Noah, I'm going to send a flood. Noah, I'm going to judge the world. Wickedness has risen up before me, and I am going to judge this world. You see, Noah had a reverence for God. Not only did he have a relationship with God, but Noah had reverence for God. He moved with fear. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs chapter 9 verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. You see, Noah had a fear of God. I wonder how many of us this morning truly fear God. I wonder how many of us this morning truly reverence God. You see, we're living in a day where God is not reverenced. Now, I thank God here at Fellowship Baptist Church. I believe we have some people that love God, that have a relationship with God, that reverence God. But I mean, the stuff that's going on in our society that's so irreverent towards God. People wonder sometimes, why do y'all believe that you should come to church a certain way and you should act a certain way and you should look a certain way? I believe it's because of this right here, because we have a reverence for God. God is not some big guy in the sky. Okay? He's not the man upstairs. He's God Almighty. He's the Holy One. He's the creator of the universe. Isaiah, when he saw him, he said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. And he said, they cried out, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. He said, Isaiah said, he fell down before him. You know, every time somebody saw God in the Old Testament, they just fell down before him because they realized who he was. They reverenced him. And Noah had a reverence for God. The Bible says he moved with fear. I wonder where the reverence for God is in our society. People have no respect for God. You got into the workplace and people curse the name of God. People just talk irreverently about God. I think about when we come to church, and I'm not beating up on our young people, but sometimes some of you's back here talking this morning, and I'm telling you why you're talking while the preacher's preaching, because you don't reverence God. And the reason some folks are on their cell phone while the preacher's preaching is because they don't reverence God. And the reason why some people are dozing off and going to sleep is because they don't reverence God. I'm telling you, our society has lost its reverence for God. That's why if it wasn't for COVID right now, the stadiums would be packed out and the places of entertainment would be full and people would be on their boats and people would be on the beach and people would be at birthday parties and people would be doing all kinds of other things than in the house of God, because our society has lost its reverence for God. You want to be prepared for the storm that's coming. Young people, you want to be prepared for what's coming. You better learn to have a reverence for God. Fear God. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of learning. It's the beginning of knowledge. You see, the fear of God will show you things that other people don't see. Some people think we're crazy here. You know why? Because we fear God. We reverence God. We take God and we understand who He is, and He's holy. And I'll be honest with you this morning. Sometimes I'm irreverent toward God. God help me. I don't want to be irreverent to God. We've lost it. We've lost it. We don't give God the reverence that He deserves. Noah did. Noah reverenced God. Because he did, it moved him. I believe this with all of my heart. A person that truly fears God will live like it. People can talk's cheap. We can say we fear God. We can say we reverence God. But our actions prove it. Do we really reverence God? Do we really care what God thinks? Do we really care what God says? God said, Noah, judgment's coming. Noah moved with fear, with reverence. Noah did something. See, I'm afraid. I feel like, I told Brother Brandon yesterday, I feel like sometimes when I preach, I really do, I feel like I'm just a broken record and I'm just saying the same thing, and some of you are probably thinking, yeah, that's what I think about you too, Brother Dave, right? But I told Brother Brandon this. I said, you know what? Noah did it for 120 years, I don't know. I know this, I believe the ship is about to sail. And I know this. I want to be on the bank yelling as loud as I can. Get on the ship! Get on the ship! Get on the ship! Amen. It's about to sail. I might sound like a broken record, but by the grace of God, I want to just keep on screaming and hollering, get on the ship! Maybe somebody will get on the ship. Amen. Because judgment's coming. Judgment is coming. Noah was prepared because of Noah's relationship with God. Noah was prepared because of Noah's reverence for God. Number three, Noah was prepared because of Noah's response to God. Noah's response to God. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, the Bible says Noah prepared an ark. Noah wasn't like those Christians in James, where James said, but be not hearers of the word only, but doers. Right? Some people are hearers of the word. It's not enough to hear. It's not enough to hear. We have to do something with what we hear. You see, Noah put it into practice. Noah responded. When God spoke, Noah responded. He did what God said to do. Noah responded to God's word. I don't see anywhere in the account of Noah. I'm not saying it didn't happen, but I don't see anywhere in the account of Noah while he was preparing the ark that he argued with God. Look for it. Many people in this Bible argued with God. I looked, I read the whole account of Noah, and I can't find one place when Noah was preparing that ark where he argued with God. No, Noah just did what God said to do. Turn to Genesis 6 real quick, if you would, again. We're doing good on time. Genesis 6, turn there real quickly. I want to show you something. I highlighted each one of these in my Bible. Genesis chapter number 6. I won't read it all, but look at verse number 22. It says, well, let's look at verse number 13. Says, and God said unto Noah. God said unto Noah. Look at verse number 22. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Verse chapter 7, verse 1 says, and the Lord said unto Noah. Verse number 5 says, and Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. Verse number 9 says, as God had commanded him. Verse number 16 says, and they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him. You see, Noah did what God said do. Noah obeyed the word of God. You know how you're going to be ready? You know how you're going to be prepared when judgment comes? By responding to God's word. Not just hearing the word, but responding to it. See, I'm afraid in a church like this right here, I mean this with all of my heart, I talk to my children about it all the time. I'm afraid in a church like this, some of you young people, it's you Sunday, some of you young people growing up in a church like this, I'm afraid what can happen is you can get so used to hearing the word of God that you forget that you need to respond to the word of God. It's not enough just to hear the word of God. You got to respond to it. Knowledge puffeth up. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. See, you're held to a higher standard because you know what's right. Some of you grown up in church your entire life. You grew up in a good home. You came to church your whole life. You've been in church since you were a little child, and now you're an adult, and you're not listening to God. And can I tell you, you're going to be held to a higher standard than those that did not, because you had light, you had truth, you had what the Bible says, and you are not responding to it. You're being a hearer of the word, but not a doer, and God is going to deal with you for that. But see, Noah responded to the word of God. He prepared an ark. Noah did what God said do. Because Noah had a relationship with God, and because Noah reverenced God, Noah responded to God. I think he responded in three ways, and I'll say these quickly. I believe Noah responded by working. By working. God said, Noah, flood's coming. I want you to go prepare an ark. You know what Noah did? He went to work. Noah went to work. And I don't find anywhere in Genesis chapter 6, 7 where Noah stopped working. From the time that God told Noah, hey, Noah, you need to be preparing. Noah worked and worked and worked and worked, and Noah just kept on working. And I'm telling you this morning, hey, the Bible says faith without works is dead. James, he said, I'll show you my faith by my works. You see, a faith that is real is a faith that works. And Noah worked. He responded to the word of God. He was prepared because he was working for God. But not only was Noah working for God, he was warning. Noah worked and Noah warned. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5 that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. This 100 years or 120 years while Noah was building this ark, not only was he working on that ark, but the Bible teaches in 2 Peter that Noah was warning. He was telling people, hey, judgment's coming, a flood's coming, a flood's coming. And Noah just kept on warning and kept on warning and kept on warning and kept on working and kept on working and kept on working. You see, Noah responded to God's word. He worked. He warned. He watched. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, if you'd have kept reading down earlier, in verse number 42, it says, watch therefore. Watch therefore. Jesus said, hey, the days of Noah, it's going to be like the days of Noah. It's going to be like the days of Lot. And then after that, he said, hey, watch therefore. And Noah, I believe, was watching. I believe Noah was out there working on that ark, and he was warning people, and the whole time he was watching. Are you watching? I'm almost done. Are you watching? I'm not just talking to our young people this morning. I'm talking to us adults. Are we watching? Noah was watching. I believe Noah had his eye to the sky. People probably thought Noah was crazy. You've heard it before. I understand this is a very familiar message, and sometimes it's hard to pay attention, but can I tell you this? Hey, I believe that people probably thought Noah was crazy. What's Noah working on? What's Noah warning about? What's he talking about? What's Noah watching? I went down there by Noah's place the other day. He was working. He was warning. He was hollering, hey, judgment's coming. Noah, why are you up there working? Judgment's coming. And then all of a sudden, I was sitting there watching. He kept looking at the sky. Why? Because God told Noah it's going to rain. Had never rained before. I don't believe the Bible. I don't believe at this point in time it had ever rained before. But Noah was watching. And everybody's probably saying Noah's crazy. Can I tell you, if we live for God in 2020, people are going to think we're crazy. I understand there's people who think I'm crazy. Up here talking about Jesus is coming, judgment's coming. I've been hearing that my whole life. Oh, that preacher's crazy. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to keep watching. I'm going to keep watching. Because one day, that eastern sky is going to split. One day, that trumpet's going to sound. One day, Jesus is coming. And I don't want to be that crowd that's not watching. The Bible teaches about that a whole lot. Jesus said, when I come, shall I even find faith in the earth? A lot of people are going to be working, marrying, giving in marriage, playing games, playing sports, going to cookouts. I'm not against any of those things, but I'll tell you this, while I'm there, I want to be watching. Jesus might come today. Don't get too focused on this world. See, Noah wasn't focused on that world, on this world. He was focused on the one to come. He realized judgment's coming. He responded. Do you respond to the word of God? Or you just hear it? See, Noah responded. So we see Noah's response. He worked, he warned, he watched. Then last, and I'm done. You go back to Hebrews chapter 11. We saw Noah's relationship to God. We saw Noah's reverence for God. We saw Noah's response to God. And now I want us to see Noah's reward from God. Noah was prepared. Are you? Am I? See what God rewarded Noah? The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, it says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. I see here two ways that God rewarded Noah. God preserved his family. I don't know about you, but I'm a father, like Noah was. I told these men at my house the other night at the Bible study. I said, man, there's nothing more in this world that I want than to get my family in. Noah got his family in. Because Noah was prepared, he preserved his family. It said, to the saving of his house. The Bible teaches in numerous places, and 2 Peter talks about saving 8 people, right? Noah, Noah's wife, Noah's 3 sons, and his 3 sons' wives. Noah's entire family was preserved. Judgment's coming. Judgment is coming. And I don't know about you, but I want to be prepared, and I want to preserve my family. Amen. I want my family to get in. God rewarded Noah's faith by preserving his family. It says, by faith, Noah. Right? By faith, Noah. Noah lived a life of faith. Noah had a relationship with God. Noah had a reverence for God. Noah responded to God. And therefore, God rewarded Noah. He preserved his family. Could there be a greater testimony of a man than to say he got his family in? He got his whole family in. God rewarded Noah. He preserved his family, but not only that, he preserved his future. Look at what it says in verse number 7. It says, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. An heir, you know what an heir is, right? I believe it's in the book of Romans, the Bible talks about that we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We've been adopted into his family. The Bible says that Noah was an heir of righteousness. You see, God rewarded Noah. He preserved his family and he preserved his future. He said, Noah, I'm going to make you an heir of righteousness. He not only that, I believe he preserved his faith. Noah got on that boat. And when the storm ended, Noah got off the boat and the faith continued on. Can I tell you, God's always got a remnant. God always has a remnant. I want to be a part of it. How about you? I want to be a part of the remnant. I want to see my family saved. I want to have a great future in this world and the world to come. And I believe God is saying, you can have that. You can have that. Not just in the world to come, but in this world now. God says, I will give you a great future. If you'll prepare, if you have a relationship with me, if you'll reverence me, if you'll respond to me, God says, I'll reward you. Noah was prepared. Are you? I got to say this and then I'm done. You know, Noah didn't leave his family a fortune. I don't believe at this time he did make them famous. They were only 8 people left on earth. They were as famous as they can come, right? But before the flood, I doubt Noah's family was very famous. Noah didn't give them fortune. He didn't give them fame. But you know what he did do? He gave them faith. Noah gave his family something far greater than fortune or fame. He gave them faith. I've said it before and I'll say it again. I believe many of you would say it too. There's nothing more that I want to give these kids of mine than faith. Because these things, the things of this world are temporal. I want to give them something eternal. Something that's going to last the fires, the flames. You see, God's not going to flood the earth in the next judgment. It's going to be a flame. It's going to be a fire. This whole world's going to burn one day. And I'll tell you what's going to matter, our faith. Our faith. Noah passed down his faith. Why? Because he was prepared. Are we prepared? I want to have a word of prayer and we'll close this morning. You can bow your head and close your eyes. Meredith's going to come to the piano. I want to give you an opportunity to respond this morning. Say, God spoke to my heart this morning, Brother David. Not me, God. If I spoke to you, it ain't done the thing. But if God spoke to you, say, Brother David, I want you to pray for me. God spoke to me. I want to be prepared. I want to be prepared for when judgment comes. And I want you to pray for me. God spoke to my heart today. Would you lift your hand if that's you? You really lift your hand. I'll pray for you. I see that hand. I see those hands. Anybody else say, God spoke to me today, and I want to be prepared when judgment comes. Would you pray for me? I see those hands. I see that hand. I wonder if there's somebody here today that says, you know what, Brother David? I'm not prepared because I don't have a relationship with God. I've never truly entered into a relationship through the Lord Jesus Christ. I've never experienced that grace of God that you spoke about. I've never been saved. I don't know God, and I want you to pray for me. I'm real concerned about the fact that I don't have a relationship with God. Is there anybody that's like that this morning that would raise their hand? And I could pray for you. I see that hand. Anybody else? Say, that's me. I don't have a relationship with God and I'm concerned about it. I see that hand. If you raise your hand and you don't have a relationship with God, you've never been saved, I want to give you an opportunity. I want you to respond as Noah did to the Word of God. tell you what I want you to do. If you're serious and if you mean business, if God has spoken to you and you're concerned and you want to get saved, I want you to get with someone as soon as this service is over. You come to me. You go to your Sunday school teacher. You go to your bus captain. You go to somebody and you talk to them about that. You respond to the Word of God this morning. For those of us that are saved, let's start preparing. There's something on the horizon. I don't know what it is, but I'll tell you this. There's something on the horizon, and I want to be prepared. I want to have a relationship with God and a reverence for God, and I want to respond to God when He speaks. I hope you do too. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your goodness, Lord. I thank You for Your Word, and God, I pray that You would take somehow these thoughts, these words that have been spoken this morning. And God, I pray that You would just do a work in hearts, Lord. God, I pray for these young people, Lord, that lifted their hand this morning, that they're not saved, God. I pray, Father, that You would help them to respond. God, I pray they would get with someone before they leave this place, Lord. They would get it settled for sure and know that they have a relationship with God. Help us, Lord, to prepare for whatever You may send our way. We love You and we thank You for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen.